بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. 29 مارچ 2014. Today I would like to say a few words about the teachings of Islam. Yesterday I was listening a talk given by a popular Muslim speaker. During his speech, he said that he used an analogy of passport and visa. He said that there is a passport of Islam, also there is a visa of Islam. So he said that La ilaha illallah is passport of Islam and Muhammadur Rasulullah is its visa. Then he said that every Muslim always has the passport. Every Muslim, when he is born, he is recited the kalima, La ilaha illallah. So already he has obtained the passport of Islam. Now the only thing that he must stamp the visa of Islam, that is following the Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This kind of presentation of Islam is like a joke. I don't think that this kind of presentation has any impact upon the listeners. It is a kind of entertainment. It is not a dawa. Then if you see the modern situation of Muslim countries, you will find that every day in the media there are some hot news in the Muslim countries. Every day they are killing in the name of Islam, in the name of jihad. So if you analyze, you will find that these are the two basic forms of Islam. There may be dozens of sects among Muslims. Maybe there are 73 sects. But if you categorize these sects, you can sum up these sects in two sects. That is, culture of rituals, then culture of violence. Some people are engaged in violence in the name of Islam. They believe that they are doing the greatest ibadah. Then the other group has based its concept on fazail. According to them, Islam is a set of rituals, and these rituals are very, very absurd, and if you perform these rituals, you will surely find entry into paradise. But both the group are living in fool's paradise. This is not Islam. I have studied Islam with its original sources. I have studied Quran. I have studied Seerah of the Prophet. I have studied books of Hadith. I can say with conviction that there are two basic aspects of Islam. That is Marifat and Dawat. Marifat is the ideology of Islam, like seed, and all other aspect of Islam is only manifestations of Marifat. Now, what is Marifat? When you developed a spirit of inquiry, you want to know what is truth with the capital T. What is the purpose of life? What is this scheme of the Creator? What is pre-death? What is post-death? So these are basic questions. When you try to find the answer of these questions, and you discover it, that is Marifat. Marifat literally means realization or discovery. This word you can find in the Quran in chapter Al-Ma'idah. وَإِذَا سَمَعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ Here you can see that Marifat is the beginning of Islam. When you discover Islam, when you realize God Almighty, then you are an Arif. Then you attain Marifat. So here is the beginning. Now, Marifat is not simply to utter some words. Marifat is greatest finding. Marifat is like brainstorming. When you discover the truth, when you discover the truth of Islam, then it is like an earthquake. Then you try to understand everything in the light of divine guidance. This realization or discovery makes your personality a new personality, a new man. Then this Marifat is not simply a mysterious Ruhaniyat. No. It is a storm. Marifat changes your way of thinking. Marifat changes your way of speaking. Marifat changes your method of dealing. Marifat changes all the aspects of your life. You become a new man. that is believer, that is arif. So this kind of realization is bound to find expression in the external world. Marifat initially is an internal phenomena. But this internal phenomena is so powerful that it is bound to find expression in external world. So this marifat, when translates in outer aspect of your life, then your whole life is becomes a new life. So marifat is not simply a personal realization, it changes your whole personality, it changes your every action. Then dawa is also an expression of marifat. When you discover God Almighty and you discover the importance of Deen or Islam, when you discover that the salvation of man depends upon this divine guidance, then by nature you try to spread this message to all mankind. It becomes impossible for you to be contented on your own. You want to share with other people, with your neighbors. And now you know we are living in an age of technology. You know, the whole world is your electronic neighbor. Then when you read Quran, you find that it is God Almighty's concern that every human being must know what is the creation plan of God and what is the purpose of life, what is the way of success in this world and also in the hereafter. So here you want to follow, you decide not only to follow the divine guidance but also to spread it among all mankind. Then again I would say that it is not a simple decision. It involves so many other things. For example, if you are living in the West, in the Western world, you will find that there are a number of things that you dislike, that is against the Islam, the religion of Islam. Due to this, all the Muslims are negative towards West. Even they say that West is enemy of Islam. But your marifat is not ready to accept this kind of hateful psychology. You discover that dawa and hate both cannot go together. If you are dai, then you can afford to hate against Madhu. You discover that every businessman knows that he cannot afford hate against his customers. So among business community, there is a saying that customer friendly, there is a term that is customer friendly behavior. So every businessman adopts customer friendly behavior. So you feel that I also must adopt Madhu friendly behavior. Madhu friendly behavior. But it is not easy. Madhu friendly behavior is not very easy. Because every time there are some unpleasant situation, there are some sad experiences. So you discover, you decide that I will adopt Madhu friendly behavior in spite of all those atrocities, right or wrong. So you feel that if I want to achieve that kind of reward which will be given to Dai for Dava work, then you have to change your mind. Then you have to make yourself hate free. Then you have to adopt Madhu friendly behavior. Otherwise, you will fail to do the work, and also you will fail to achieve that reward which is destined for those people who have done dawa work in this world. So this is dawa culture. So this is the two basic principles, marfat and dawa. All other things that are part of Islam, like ibadah, like dua, like zikr, like character, all the things, good behavior, all the things that are part of Islam, that are offshoot of these two principles. Even I can say that everything is offshoot or manifestation of marfa. Dawa is also a manifestation of marifat. So marifat in Islam is like a seed. You know, every tree begins from a seed. The whole tree is kept in a small seed. Seed is the beginning of a tree. So the whole tree is just like unfolding of a seed. Due to this, Quran says that kalimatu masalu kalimatu tayyiba kashratin tayyiba asluha sabitun wa farwa fi sabab. So kalima is like a seed. Kalima is like a seed. When one discovers the value of kalima, one who adopts kalima with his true spirit, then kalima becomes for him like a seed, and his iman starts growing. So growing till it becomes a tree, a whole tree. So marfat, so in Islam, marfat is like a seed. And all those things that we know as part of Islam, all those things are only manifestation of marfat, including dawah. تو آئی تھنک دیٹ ایوری بلیور مسٹ نو دس فیکٹ. ایوری بلیور مسٹ اسٹرینتھن ہز بلیف. ایوری بلیور مسٹ اکوائر کنوکشن اباؤٹ ہز مارفائی اباؤٹ ہز بلیف. سو اونلی دس کائنڈ آف strengthening your marfa will find expression in the external world. So marfa is beginning, marfa is first principle of Islam. Marfa is the basic teaching of Islam. And dawah is only an expression, an external expression of Islam. Then, when you involve yourself in dawah, you, every day you feel some experience. When you interact with your madhu, when you discuss with your madhu, when you try to convince your madhu, then you feel that there are so many questions. Madhu gives you a new way of thinking, a new item of thinking. Then, if you are sincere, if you want to convince your madhu, if you want to address the mind of madhu, then you will prepare yourself so that you may address the mind of Badu. In this sense, I can say the dawah is a bilateral process. Dawah is not unilateral announcement. Dawah is a bilateral process. It is a mutual learning. It is giving at the same time taking. Madhu, Dai gives something to Madhu. Madhu takes something from you. So it is a give and take process. So if Dai is sincere, if Dai is a prepared mind, then Dawah becomes for him a way of intellectual development, spiritual development, personality development. So, we have to know that dawah is not only for madhu, it is also for dai. It is double-sided work. I think that, according to my experience, I can say that the greatest boost for intellectual development is dawah. I have so many experiences in my mind, in life, that when I met someone, when I wanted to convey the message of Islam to someone, he raised some question. That question make me rethinking. Sometime I found that at the time of counter, I was unable to reply his question. There are so many instances when I found myself helpless. Then what happened? I returned with a new decision. That I will prepare myself. So I studied books. I inquired inquired about his question. I studied Quran again and again. So my dawa work became a study work also. So according to my experience, dawa is a great source of self-training. If you are sincere, then dawa is a great source of self-training. Dawa is a great source of intellectual development. Because Madhu was born in a different environment. His way of thinking is quite different. So when you meet, he will raise different kind of question, and sometimes you are not prepared to answer to this question. But if you are sincere, then you will go to further study. You will contemplate, you will think again and again, and then you will discover some new thing. Some of my books were compiled by this kind of experience. So I think that dawa is not simply announcement. Dawa is a great task. Then I would like to say that there are two levels of dawa. The easiest way, your easiest method of dawa is that we are living in the age of printing press. There are translations of the Quran in printed form. There are books on Islam. There are Islamic literature. So you have to keep all these things in your pocket, in your bag. And every time you meet someone, you can present him as a spiritual gift. So this is the easiest way of dawa. And you have to keep these literatures in your pocket, in your bag, and present it to other people when you meet them. So this is the easiest way of dawa. But there is the other level of dawa in which you involve yourself in dawa work. You discuss, you interact, and during this discussion and interaction, there are so many new questions. There was new aspect of new areas of knowledge. So if you are sincere, that will boost your spirit of learning. So every day you can develop your mind by this way. So I would say that especially those people who are living in West, they must abandon all kind of hate without making yourself free of hate. You cannot do the work. Because all the Muslims hate Western people. These people cannot do the work. Because you have to be well-wisher, you have to make dua, you have to listen their point with patience. All these things requires compassion, well-wishing. So this is very important condition that you must be hate free towards your madhu. Then if you have no time, you have to adopt the method of distribution. And if you have time, you can involve yourself in discussion, in interaction, and thus you can improve your, you can develop your personality. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.